The portion of Scripture for our meditation this morning is recorded for us in the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 12, beginning with the 32nd verse. This is our Gospel for today, this 12th Sunday after Pentecost. Dear friends in Christ, I recently had the opportunity to hear the director of the FBI, James Comey, give a speech. His 20-minute speech was about being different, how to act differently and how to think of the world differently than many people in the world. And during this speech, Director Comey talked about the message he gives to high school students when he has the opportunity to speak with them. He talks about how many people in this world are only interested in moving forward, about moving forward and on in their lives, about getting better. You want a better education so you can get a better job, a better paying job, so you can buy a better house, a better car, and have a better life, and so on and so forth. But he tells them that's not the proper way to look at life. Instead, he has the high schoolers close their eyes and picture them old and gray. At the end of their life, looking back at the life that was, and he tells them at that point in time, all the possessions that you've accumulated, the job that you had, and everything else, that's not going to be important to you. No, he says at the end of your life, the main question that you are going to be concerned with is not what you've done or all the possessions you've had, but rather who you've been. How you've treated others, what you've done to make this world a better place. Many people then are focused on one thing and one thing only. Having a better life by getting for themselves better things. But today we see a different way to be, a different way to look at life. Instead of being focused on earthly things and earthly possessions, we treasure the gifts of Christ. And we do that on a daily basis because we never know when Christ is going to return again. At the end of our text, Christ talks about a thief coming. The very nature of a thief means that you don't know when that thief is going to come and steal from you. If you know what time that thief is going to break into your house, you are going to be prepared for him, like Kevin McAllister in Home Alone. But since that's just a movie and not real life, we must be prepared at all times, in every circumstance, no matter where we are, for that thief to come. We lock our doors, we buy security lights or maybe even security systems. We do anything we can to prevent someone from stealing our earthly treasures because we treasure those earthly possessions. In the same way, Christ is going to come again. Like a thief in the night. We know he's going to come, but we don't know exactly when. So we must be prepared at all times and in all circumstances. Now, he's going to come not to steal from us, but to steal us from the pain and torment of hell and the clutches of Satan. So we don't want to miss out. We don't want to be caught unprepared for when Christ comes again. But what exactly does it mean to be prepared for the last day, to be prepared for his coming? Well, on the last day, of course, Christ is going to judge the living and the dead. He'll divide the world into two groups, sheep and goats. The sheep on his right, the goats on his left. The sheep are believers, the goats are unbelievers. The goats will be sent to everlasting condemnation, while the believers are sent to everlasting eternal bliss in heaven. So what does it mean to be prepared? Well, it simply means to believe. Those who believe in Jesus Christ as their one and only Savior will be saved. Those who don't will be condemned. It's as simple as that. And yet, it's not all that simple is it? That's because we often become distracted in this world full of temptation. Though we strive always to move forward in life. For many people, their goal, their passion, their energy is devoted to making their lives better. And that plays out differently in each and every one of our lives. Maybe our goal, our energies are spent on getting a better education. Or working more hours at your job so you can earn more money and buy more things. Maybe it's getting yourself into a position so that you can get a promotion at work. Or making a name for yourself. Or more power somehow. Maybe your goal and focus in life is playing sports or working out so that you can get in better shape and live a longer life. Maybe your goals and energies are spent on something completely different. None of these things are sinful, of course. There's nothing wrong with them in and of themselves. But our lives can become so wrapped up in moving forward in this earthly life that Christ and His Word get left behind. That's what the devil tries to do. He's going to take your treasure, he's going to take that thing that you love, that you cherish, and he's going to make it work against you and use that thing to keep you away from Christ and His Word. And anything then that leads us away from Christ, anything that keeps us away from Him and His Word, ultimately then becomes a sin. And sin separates us from God. Those who are prepared and ready for Christ's coming are those who believe. But if we are not in the Word, if we're not hearing the gospel on a regular basis, our faith slowly dwindles. The less we hear the gospel, the less we want the gospel. And many times, people don't even realize they lose their faith, and when Christ comes, He will find many people unprepared. So what does the Lord encourage us to do in view of His coming? Sell your possessions and give to the poor. What good will that do when it comes to judgment day? It's not as if our works are going to be able to save us. So why should we sell our possessions and give to the poor if that won't contribute any way to our salvation? Because it is our money. It is the earthly possessions that we've accumulated in this life that often keep us away from God. Or the pursuit of those things that keep us away from God. Now, we don't want to get caught off guard when Christ comes, to be caught unprepared. So anything and everything that may lead us away from Him, may get rid of. Anything that so easily entangles us and wraps us up in the focus of this life, away from the focus of Christ, then we want to get rid of. If we have to. If it is our possessions and our money that distracts us from God, then we'd easily and willingly get rid of them. What good would it be for us to gain the whole world and yet forfeit our soul, Jesus asks elsewhere? The obvious answer is, it wouldn't be any good. None. So we get rid of what distracts us from God's Word. We prepare our hearts and minds for Christ's coming as we strive to serve Him in life and everything. But we keep Him and His Word front and center in our lives. But still, we hesitate to do such a thing. We hesitate to get rid of something that we love, that we cherish, even if it does distract us from God's Word. Because the Lord has blessed us so much. And we treasure those earthly blessings that Christ has given us. And we thank Him on a daily basis for those blessings Christ has given us. But the problem is we love and cherish those things so much that we often aren't willing to part with them even if they are leading us to sin. And if we do part with them, well, we don't part with them too much. Just enough to ease our conscience a little bit, but not so much to change our lifestyle. And we're a little hesitant because we're afraid of what the future holds. Future is a little uncertain. We're not exactly sure if we'll be able to provide for ourselves late in later years, so we hold back a little bit. So look at this passage again. Jesus didn't tell the disciples to sell all your possessions and give it to the poor. If we all did that, we would all be poor, we'd all be needy, and other people would have to give us things. No, based on the rest of Scripture, what's Christ's point? First of all, he tells us that he provides more than we need now, more than we need, so that we can provide for us in the future, so that we can provide for those who actually do need. He also makes it clear that if anything, no matter what it may be, leads us to sin or keeps us away from him, we should be willing to get rid of it, so as not to put our soul in jeopardy. He also tells us not to worry. Not to worry about not having enough in the future, because the more we graciously give to him and to others, he's going to graciously give to us. So we never have to worry about never having enough. He also gives us another reason not to worry. It's in our first verse for today. We sung about it in our first hymn. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Little flock, out of all the people in the world, God has chosen you. Out of all the people in the world, you are a remnant who is saved by grace. Through the waters of baptism, he adopted you as his own and made you his own dear children. He brought you into his sheep pen. He knows you by name and he calls to you and you know him. You are a member of his flock and he guards you and protects you. You are also a citizen in his kingdom. Christ's kingdom is his rule in our hearts through faith. Through the faith that was worked in us through baptism, he rules in your heart. A citizen who enjoys full citizenship in all the blessings that he has to offer you. And soon, he will take you to live in his heavenly kingdom. Free from sin, free from the effects of sin, where your treasure never runs out or is destroyed. Out of all the earthly gifts that Christ has given you, and there are many, the greatest gift that Christ has given you is the gift of salvation. Won for him by his suffering and death on the cross, where he removed the guilt of all our sins and paid for them for eternity. Won for you by his resurrection from the dead. For he promises, because I live, you also will live. You will live even though you die. This gift of salvation given to us for free by Christ, received through faith, also a gift from Christ, is worth more than any amount of gold or silver. You don't need anything else. If the gift of salvation is the only gift Christ has given you, you would be perfectly content. But he has also graciously given you much more. So then we realize what's important. Not all the earthly things, but the spiritual gifts Christ has given us. And as Jesus reminds us, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If you want to examine your life, if you want to know where your heart truly lies, then look at your bank account. It's a general truth that applies to all matters. If your treasure is earthly things, then your desires, your plans, your actions will be directed toward getting earthly riches. In the same way, if what you treasure in your heart is in heaven, your heart will seek ways to use your time, your abilities, and your earthly treasures toward obtaining and securing heavenly things, like spreading the good news of the forgiveness of sins through faith in Jesus Christ. Let us then do all we can to use our time, our talents, and our offerings to help spread the gospel, so that we may hear the gospel more on a regular basis, grow in our faith and grow closer to God, and do what we can to lead others to hear the gospel so that they can become part of Christ's flock and a member and a citizen in His kingdom. We do all of this as we await for the return of Christ, which can come at any moment. In the middle portion of our text, Christ is the Master, whose servants await Him. We are the servants. Christ is at a wedding celebration, a big banquet. Right now, Christ is in heaven celebrating His victory. He defeated the devil by crushing his head. He defeated death by rising from the dead. He defeated sin by taking our sins upon Him and suffering for the world's condemnation. The party has already started, and it will go on to eternity, and soon He will come to take us with Him, so that we too may celebrate. He could come at any time. He could come the second or third watch of the night between 9 p.m. and 3 a.m., and the servants were ready for the Master's coming. And so we must be too. All He finds ready, we take Him with Him to live forever. And notice how the tables will be turned. Notice what the Master does. The Master will then have the servants sit at the table, and the Master will serve them. Christ not only saves us, He not only forgives our sins, He not only takes us to His perfect life in heaven forever, but He will spend eternity serving us, giving us blessing after blessing. That's grace heaped upon grace that our Lord will give us forever. That's something we don't want to miss ourselves. We don't want anyone else to miss. That is something that all who believe will enjoy forever. Those ready, those willing to serve the Lord will be rewarded with something so great and so wonderful that we can't even comprehend it on this earth. We treasure our earthly possessions, and we go through great lengths so that no one can steal those earthly possessions from us. But we treasure Christ and His Word and the salvation that He gives to us and to all people. We treasure that even more. So don't steal it from yourselves. Don't steal it from others. Don't get caught unprepared. Don't let the things and enticements of this world distract you from God and His Word. Push aside those things that so easily entangle you in your life. If you need to, sell your possessions and give to the poor. Christ and His gospel comes first. Prepare your heart and mind for His coming, and use your time, your talents, and your treasures to help spread the gospel so that many more will be prepared for when He comes like a thief in the night. That message that Director Comey gives to those high schoolers about asking yourself that question, who you've been, it's a good one, not just for teens, but for all people who live in this world full of enticements and temptation. Well, let's focus it even more on our point for today. This world is always focused on moving forward and getting better, better things in this life. But when you're about to die, or when Christ comes again, the important question is not what you did for a job or how many possessions you had or what have you. An important question then is, what have I done to help spread the gospel and bring more people into God's flock? That's a different way to be. That's a different way to look at life. May Christ be your treasure. May His gospel dwell in your hearts and guide your life. For soon, He's going to come and take you home to celebrate. You don't want to miss it. And we want everyone to join us. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.